I guess you've been given kind of a tough task in being thrown into the session in the middle of it, even though you have the familiarity there. How do you tackle that, and what are you hoping to accomplish in the half of the session that you have?
Well, and because I came in late, really, I didn't have any opportunity for personal legislation. I am looking forward to getting out and talking with people in the district and finding out interests, issues, and things that are of concern in order to be more effective and hopefully be able to come back next year. But for the rest of this session, I'm working on helping where I can with things like the education bill that I actually worked on as an alternate on the education committee, trying to make sure that it works well for the district and well for the state, trying to provide opportunities for people to educate their children, hopefully better by passing this bill. There is, some of the work we did was on charter schools. Some is on some tax credits for early childhood education, which hopefully will be able to benefit everybody in the state. I'm also doing some work on Community and Regional Affairs Committee. We're looking at options for local governments to increase traffic safety, all kinds of great issues, I think, that are important to the district. And also, there are always issues with capital projects. So we're working as a delegation with Senator Egan, Representative Munoz, on supporting the capital projects for the district, including Petersburg.
How do you feel about the school voucher piece of that the education debate?
You know, it's really challenging and frustrating, I guess, for me to be going through that discussion. I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't materialize here as much on the House side. My concerns are that we've got a limited amount of public funding for education, and opening up the door to public funding going into private schools is of grave concern, because once that funding leaves the state's purview, the school boards and the municipalities, then we end up without having the ability for accountability for those funds. So they could go to a school, some things that I've said a couple of times, that money could go to a private school that is doing a fantastic job and 90% of the kids are on their way to college and doing well, but that money could also go to a school that is not doing well, has a very poor graduation rate and very low college-bound or career-bound student percentage, and the state, the legislators, the department, or school districts would not have any ability to redirect those facilities or those schools because they're outside of state purview. So I have a really strong concern that public money going out to public schools or going out to private schools would not be of overall benefit to the state.
You mentioned the capital projects and funding for those. I think you met with Petersburg's mayor, Mark Jensen, a week or so ago and probably heard some of Petersburg's needs. What's your feeling in terms of getting some money inserted in the capital budget in the final hours or final weeks of the session? Excuse me.
Well, I know that they're starting to work on the capital budget in the Senate side. We haven't had a chance to take a look at it much over on this side. I am not on the Finance Committee, but I have been in contact with members of the Finance Committee, and it's looking actually pretty thin for being able to add a significant amount of funding to the capital budget, although there's a lot of pieces that are kind of out there now that are in discussion. So the PERS unfunded liability, the $3 billion deposit that the governor had suggested is on the table for discussion. The increase in the BSA is on the table for discussion, and all of that, I think, is going to play into what becomes available for capital funding for each one of the districts. And so that discussion is just starting here, and I'm hoping to be able to be a part of that discussion and supporting projects for, it's the Petersburg Police Station that needs some work, and we're supporting that.
And a relatively recent need, the Crystal Lake Hatchery south of town lost one of its buildings in a fire about 2 weeks ago. It's a state-owned facility. It's run by the Southern Southeast Aquaculture Association, but I think local officials here are going to be coming to the state hoping that it can rebuild that facility eventually and looking for funding for that. Have you heard about that and see any chance for that?
We actually have had a meeting about that project, and it does look like, because it's a state facility, it was operated under contract, but because it was a state-owned facility, it was covered, insured, and covered under the Division of Risk Management. So it looks like there is going to be funding to be able to rebuild. It's a matter of trying to figure out how to program and how to rebuild the facility, as it was a quite old facility. But it sounds like they are going to be able to do something. It's a matter of what they're going to be able to do. So I think that is covered without having to go into the capital budget. At least that was my understanding from the meeting that we had with the department and with Senator Egan and Representative Munoz.
A little more about your background. Are you feel strong about being a Democrat versus a Republican or something else?
Yes, I've always had very strong Democratic leanings. So I've had been nonpartisan since I turned 18 for a while, up until I got thinking it was around 2009 that I was feeling that my beliefs are strongly Democratic. Why should I avoid being a Democrat? And it was an easy decision for me, and it's something that I'm very strongly committed to, the Democratic values, the basic values of making sure that that we're taking care of people, that we are responsible in our development, not that we don't develop, but we do develop. We just develop responsibly.
And in terms of your ancestry, I know you have Japanese history in your family. Also, there's Tlingit in your family as well, right?
Yes, Japanese and Tlingit, really from Petersburg, I guess, the Japanese. My grandfather came over from Japan but ended up settling in Petersburg, and my great-grandmother came over to Kuprinoff from Cake and lived on the other side of the Narrows, and they used to row their boat over to Petersburg to work in a cannery. When my grandmother was younger, they grew up on the Kuprinoff side.